Blog Talk Radio.
Japan. What happened here? Oh, well, something's wrong here. I don't know what happened. Anyway, we'll play President Harry Truman's audio interview when he became president.
With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt. I want, in turn, to assure my fellow Americans and all of those who love peace and liberty throughout the world that I will support and defend those ideals with all my strength and all my heart. So that there can be no possible misunderstanding, both Germany and Japan can be certain, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that America will continue the fight for freedom until no vestige of resistance remains. Our demand has been, and it remains, unconditional surrender. We will face the problems of peace with the same courage that we have faced and mastered the problems of war. In the memory of those who have made the supreme sacrifice, in the memory of our fallen president, we shall not fail.
Well, there was a screw-up today, so let's see if we can continue. I don't know what happened. We'll play Archbishop Fulton Sheen. It's his birthday today, and he used to be the American Bishop's TV presence back in the 50s and 60s. Here he's talking about communism.
And we want predetermination there because there's reality and there's myth. The people are real. They want the truth, but they're submerged by this myth. So we say to them, listen to this statement. I will tell you later who said it, but we address it to the Soviets. If any nation whatsoever is detained by force within the boundaries of a certain state, And if that nation, contrary to its expressed desire, is not given the right to determine the form of its state life by free voting and completely free from the presence of troops of the annexing or stronger state and without any pressure, then the incorporation of that nation by the stronger state is annexation, it is seizure by force, it is violence. Who said this? Nikolai Lenin. Then Soviets, under God, follow it. Free these people. That's the first thing that we have to solve in the world. And then our other problems will be solved. No other problem will be solved until we liberate them. They're strong. They're very strong. Why? Because they believe in an absolute. They believe in a truth. The truth of the party line. And they believe in it with such fervor and faith that they are. Is that 2640? Is that time for me to quit? Is that 2640? 1 minute yet? See, I get so rattled. But they have a faith in an absolute. And that gives them great strength and great zeal. Our weakness, really, is the fact that we are not sure in America that there is any truth. We are something like Pontius Pilate when our blessed Lord appeared before him. Our Lord said, I am come to give testimony of the truth, and all who are of the truth hear my voice. And Pilate turned his back on truth and sneered, what is truth? They have thrown down the gauntlet. And they have reminded us that the choice before the world is not some humanitarian society and communism. It is either brotherhood in Christ or comradeship in Antichrist. They have chosen that particular comradeship. It is for us as a free nation to choose the truth, to choose the good, to choose and affirm God and the freedom of the peoples of the world.
Oh, that was Bishop Fulton Sheen, one of his TV programs. There are no more Catholic prelates or even priests on major TV. We do have the Catholic channel. I don't know what to think today. another screw up. we'll go ahead. Today is the birthday of events. So excuse me, the birthdays. By Edward Gibbon. It's a book that everybody should read because the American Empire is at its apex, a lot of people think. And Britain and Rome, they all, Greece, all these old and ancient states, as Churchill used to say, all had their time on the stage, the world stage. They dictated to smaller, less powerful nations. And Britain had one the biggest fleet in the world, 1,000 ships, biggest number of colonies. It said the sun never set on the British Empire, and today the sun sets on a part of Britain, as it were. Edward Gibbon's book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, it's something we should read, which we may be hopefully not seeing, but we may see the decline and fall of the American Empire. The guy who was the father of Mexican independence, it wasn't Benito Juarez, who was related to people that I worked with. 1753, Hidalgo y Castillo is the father of Mexican independence, and they wanted their freedom from Spain. Simon Bolivar in South America is the father of independence down there. The guy who was one of the anarchists, that was one of the founders of the movement to overthrow the Tsar, Nicholas Buchanan, born on this day. Great pianist, Louis-Marie Gauchuk, who was the first American pianist to get recognition in Europe. The father of Oscar Hammerstein II, Oscar Hammerstein I, was born. There's also a German, famous German general, Hammerstein Ecord. I don't know if he was related. And, of course, in 1884, Harry Truman was born. One of the greatest opera singers, and was also in South Pacific, Ezio Pinza was born. Now, Ezio couldn't read music, but he had a fabulous memory. Also, he was a bicyclist. And somebody heard him in the shower singing, and they got him, that was his discovery, as it were, and the rest is history. American author Edmund Wilson, born today. And, of course, Archbishop Fulton Sheen was born in a place called El Paso, Illinois. I'm not familiar with that. Roberto Rossellini, great Italian director, producer. Sloan Wilson, who wrote a book after World War II called The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit, he was attacking Madison Avenue. Don Rickles, who had a great sense of humor. Another TV personality, David Attenborough, who did quite a few series for BBC. And the real author of Profiles in Courage, Ted Sorensen, his birthday today. And if you've ever seen Jaws, well, guess who wrote that? Peter Benchley. Among the deaths, I don't know why they guillotined this guy, Anton Lavoisier, he was a chemist who discovered oxygen. The French did a lot of crazy things. And then the guy who was one of Napoleon's general, Jean Bernadotte, who defected, as it were, turned against Napoleon, and joined the Swedes, offered him the crown because their king had no heir. So he became Charles XIV, and he lasted about 30 years, died in 1854. Famous French author, Flaubert, who wrote Gervais, several great books. Famous French painter, Eugene Paul Gauguin. There was a movie done about him. And also, he was a friend of the Dutch painter who cut off his ear, and a lot of those painters of that period, the Impressionists. And then we had the guy who discovered do horses run on all four, Muybridge, born on this day. In fact, I have an interview with somebody who knew him. Then the guy who was the spark plug behind the American involvement in the National Olympics. He promoted amateurism. He competed in the Olympics at the same time Jim Thorpe, the great Indian Native American, who lost all of his awards because he went professional. Edmund O'Brien, an American actor who never lost his New York accent. He played Casca in the original Julius Caesar with Marlon Brando and Louis Calhoun. And then George Peppard, a great movie actor, The Blue Max, which is about World War I and the German air races. Among the events today, Joan of Arc rescued Orleans. 1541, Hernando de Soto discovered the Mississippi. Chrysler later produced a car called the de Soto. In 1616, the son of Charles I, the English Parliament said they had enough of this family of monarchs, and he was asked to abdicate. And George Vancouver, British explorer, was the man who named Mount Rainier. Would you believe this? In 1792, the United States started a military draft. They thought it was Abraham Lincoln, but it wasn't. 1744, the United States Post Office was set up. The guy who invented the photo process, Alexander Wolcott, born on this day. And then Palo Alto, Texas, there is a Palo Alto, even in Texas, was responsible for that battle, was the beginning of the American-Mexican War. In 1847, rubber was patented, a rubber tire, by Robert Thompson. 1861, Richmond, Virginia became the capital of the Confederacy, and shortly after that, we had Coca-Cola. Did you ever drink Coca-Cola? Well, the guy that started it was guy who invented it was a pharmacist. Or a doctor who had a pharmacy, Dr. John Smith Pemberton. And guess what was in it? Cocaine. And they had to take it out. 1900, I forgot where this was, but 250 people who were grave robbers were executed. And this is the basis of Formosa clan. The Formosans are the Taiwanese claiming that they're independent of Red China. In 1895, China ceded Taiwan. In a treaty called the Treaty to they ceded Taiwan to Japan. Japan ceded it to Japan. In the Treaty of Shimonoseki, and I'll bring it up again because the Red Chinese keep claiming that Taiwan is a traditional province of China, just as they claim that Tibet is. 1919, we had the first Navy airman who did a transatlantic flight. I think a guy named Sprigg Reed was also involved. And then in 1921, Sweden was one of the first nations in the Western world to abolish capital punishment. 1942, we had the Battle of the Coral Sea, where the Lexington was sunk, and it's also where the five Sullivans went down on that cruiser. And, of course, it has a connection to a case that I worked with. The Sullivans, there were five boys from Iowa. Father, the family was Roman Catholic. They all joined the Navy. And there was another set, maybe two sets of brothers on that ship that went down. That's not well publicized. But the only set of brothers in the United States Navy where a march was written after him. I don't have a copy of it. And then Navy named a ship called the Sullivans, and Captain Vincent Averna was the executive officer on that. And then the first I Bank was set up in New York City in 1944. And then one of the worst of the German Nazi high command, Field Marshal, a real puppet, a Martinet Keitel, surrendered to Field Marshal Zhukov of the Russian army, and that part of the European war ended. These are questions that I want to bring up on our public policy question series. We've had this horrible limousine accident on one of the bridges here in Northern California, and it was in a stretch limousine, which may have been overweight. They had one passenger too many. It's going to be an interesting case. But they had no doors, and none of these stretch limos have rear doors. Public policy question, should it be mandatory that all stretch limos have four doors, so that two doors, so that people can get out if there's an accident and they're in the back? Also, do they really need these wet bars on these limos? Maybe they should just have carbonated water or a few drinks. And getting back to the bicyclists, they don't want to deal with this, but it's time to start cracking down on the city of Davis, California, where there's a university, controls and manages their bike population, and there are no accidents that we know of. But it's time to this is a latte leisure class, and it's time to start cracking down on these people, because they want everything: special lanes, free parking, services, but they don't pay for anything. And it gives them a lot of disposable income for lattes, expensive wine, boutique beers, fancy meals, cocaine, marijuana, some of them, not all of them, of course. And also, another public policy question, should motorists, bicyclists, truck drivers, motorcyclists who cause collisions, if they're held responsible, if they're found to be responsible for these collisions, shouldn't they retake the written driver's test, and a road test, and have to pay for it, and driver training? We've got to cut down on these accidents. There are a growing number of Americans who think we have an epidemic of reckless driving. I'm going to end here early. I don't know what happened, but let's see if this works, and we'll play our usual theme. And Politics and Poker, we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. I hope there's no screw-up like there is today. It may be my fault. So we'll start right now. Where is Politics and Poker? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind playing poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush.
Flush.
Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some captain who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck.
Friday. I hope this works out. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.